Welcome, everybody, to episode 323 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, July 11th, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by my co-host, John James Jacoby.
Hey, and, Chandler.
Hey, how's it going?
Mr. Jeff Chandler. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, look. Good. All of my limbs are still attached.
All of your phalanges have survived the 4th of July. I'm proud of you. You made it another year.
That's right. We're going to do a show on the 4th of July, but then John's like, you know, let's claim our independence. And I said, I have no problem with that. So
it was a great day, too. The weather has been great here. We've hit the beach a couple of times. And you guys are getting kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's nap time weather outside today. So after this show, I'm going outside, getting in the Adirondack chair.
Yes. Look at that. Yeah, that's a good word.
Adirondack.
Yeah.
For all
of the occasional mispronunciations that you have on the show, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So we got a lot to get to today, catch you up on some WordPress happenings. But this was especially noticeable in the last episode. You may have heard some audio glitches on John's end, where things would just get really staticky for some reason, and we did some troubleshooting after the show.
Sure did.
And John, what did the culprit ended up being?
It was iTerm. iTerm 2 running in the background was running tests and doing all of the things I told it to. And for whatever reason, whenever it would run like a NPM update or a script or anything long running would happen. Or like brew upgrade or any sort of process, whenever it would have to chug through something, for some reason, that would cause my microphone and my audio to go apparently pretty bonkers. So I have closed and disabled all of those for this show, and so we should be 100% glitch-free, at least as far as that goes.
All right. So probably has something to do with hitting a 99 or 100% CPU, and it's just...
That's my guess.
Anyhow, glad to have that fixed. So I believe it was last week. Was it last weekend? Plugin Camp / WordCamp Grand Rapids?
I guess I don't know anymore. I think it was the weekend before.
Well, it might have been two weekends ago.
It was 2 weeks.
Okay, gotcha. So this was sort of a different take on a WordCamp. It was mostly focused on plugins and themes, a.k.a. Plugin Camp done right. And you had awesome. You drove around the lake to go to Grand Rapids and tell us kind of give us your overview of the event.
So Grand Rapids, this is their fifth year doing a WordCamp. I missed one of the years, and they had a year off. And so when I had talked to Kate DeRosia last year about some ideas for making WordCamps different or unique or special. One of the things that I've talked about wanting selfishly was a plugin camp, a camp that was geared specifically around plugins or extensions or tools and those kind of things. And so that's what this was. And WordCamp Grand Rapids, usually around anywhere between 150 and 180 people. I think they got close to 180 this year. So a decent size for a Midwest camp. And security talks, WPCLI talks, the occasional Gutenberg mention. You can't really go a WordCamp these days without mentioning Gutenberg.
Well, I mean, it is a plugin.
That's right. I was thinking that too. You're exactly right. It does still qualify for the plugin camp, is what you're saying. So get in on that topic while Liquid Web had a surprising sort of presentation of folks there. Chris Lemma, Norcross, Steve Grunwell, I think, a few others. It was kind of like a WordCamp Grand Rapids reunion of folks giving kind of all of their best talks. So Aaron Campbell was there, gave a security talk, good kind of security best practices on everything from what a strong password is to whether or not renaming or hiding your WP admin directory is good or bad. He did it with a Mythbusters theme, which I appreciated. And so whether or not certain things were plausible or confirmed or not was neat to see. It was a good take on a WordCamp talk that I haven't seen. And it was awesome. The drive was easy. We had a good time. And it's nice because actually my favorite part of this event, and then we can, aside from all the talks and all the people, my favorite part was the extended offsite lunch, which was like a 2-hour lunch break. And because they didn't cater, there was no on-campus lunch. And Grand Rapids is a really pretty city. I mean, it's for it where it is, or for the people who get it confused with Cedar Rapids all the time. Like, people forget that Milwaukee is in Wisconsin and not Minnesota. I think it's just, you know, you forget where things are because it's not where you live and where you are. And so, but Grand Rapids is super pretty. Lots of cool historic buildings. Downtown is really neat. And so we got to experience like a pinball arcade and like an old school arcade. And Grand Rapids has a lot of beer, has a beer culture going on. So we enjoyed some beer. I know that's not for everybody, but we got to enjoy some. And
I enjoyed all the photos of crack fries that people sent.
Crack fries. We did some crack fry photos.
Hop Cats.
Yep. That is a Grand Rapids tradition at a WordCamp, is going to Hop Cats and getting some crack fries. And they are worthy of their name. They are delicious and you cannot stop eating them.
Oh, that's seasoned.
But so the 2-hour lunch was good, because we got to hang out at Hop Cats and, with very low stress, very low urgency to get back right away to the venue because you had plenty of time to do it.
Yeah, you know, in past experiences at WordCamps where you go off site and you have about an hour lunch, you got to walk to the lunch place and then you got to hope that it's not busy and then there's no wait time. And by the time you get your food, you're looking at your clock. Oh, no, we only got about 30, 20 minutes left. And before you know it, you're rushing. You got to get back in time. And God forbid if you're the speaker right after lunch. I really appreciate it. I think like lunches should be minimum an hour and a half. Yep.
I agree. Kate and the organizing team did a really great job in general, but also of like breaking up the length and duration of talks. Some talks were only 30 minutes, not really with time for Q&A. They had some lightning talks, which were, I think, are sometimes some of the best talks. I forget the gentleman's name, gave a talk on... I forget. Whatever it was super good because it was quick and easy and fully thorough. But my point I'm getting to is my favorite talk of the day was Sophia DeRosa, Kate and Topher's daughter, gave a talk about how she built with some of her friends eventually, with some help, but mostly by herself, with BuddyPress and some membership plugins and like a community portal and site for some folks that were involved with their church group. And so they had trouble because of age and getting people involved on Facebook or in Facebook groups, or people not wanting to sort of have all of their church goings on involved on Facebook specifically. And so they built a site and she went through and chronicled every plugin she used and why, what she learned, why it was hard, kind of what hats she was wearing at the time between marketing and enrollment and developer and designer and site owner and all these things in order to get this up and running. And it was just really great to see. It's always great to see younger people getting involved. And she may not have a choice just because of her parental situation, but she's really digging in and kind of doing the tough work at a young age, which is really awesome to see. So my favorite talk, and she also did a good job.
So any difficulties she may have had with BuddyPress, did she like give you eye contact when she was mentioning them?
She did throw a tomato directly at my head when the BuddyPress slide came up. It was delicious. So yeah, it was a great, super good event, and the camp was great. Sophia's talk was awesome.
So is it kind of what you had in mind and what you'd want a plug-in camp to be?
It was almost exactly what I have in mind when it comes to a plugin camp, because it's plugins and tools and sort of lots of database migration stuff, lots of security, lots of plugin and like tutorials on how to use specific plugins that are like not endorsements by a developer of that plugin, which are always nice to see. And that was the one gentleman that gave the other lightning talk that Carrie and I sat in. He did a really good job. I don't remember what the plugin was, so she'll have to remind me, and I'll have to put it in the show notes later. But it was great.
I think it was. I wonder if it was like, was it 2016, or maybe it wasn't that long ago when we talked about plugin camp, and you know, you had mentioned, yeah, I mean, this is a cool idea on paper. You know, somebody should do this. The WordCamp should do this, and I would totally go there and keynote it.
Yeah,
that's what you said.
So this was the very first time. This is like my. It's the first time for me giving a talk where I completely forgot the point of what it was that I was trying to say. So that was a little bit like you talk down a rabbit hole and you kind of want to connect your points. And generally, I'm pretty good about linking things back together. And this time I like talk-ceptioned myself and went one level too deep. And then couldn't remember how I was going to tie it back into the next slide. And like, oh, well, I don't remember what I was going to say. So we'll move on to the next
one. I can't wait to watch this. I hope this ends up on Press.tv.
So that's a little embarrassing. But, it was the first time that that had happened. And so hopefully I learned something from that and it doesn't happen
again. So for all you future WordCamp speakers out there, avoid talkception.
Talkception is a bad deal. I went off script and completely couldn't pull myself back out. So it was fine. You know, I mean, everybody in the audience is rooting for you. So, oh, Carrie just messaged me. So I'm cheating now. A broken link checker was the plugin that this gentleman talked about. And so he went through how broken link checker works and how to set it up and why you use it. And it's actually really cool. Like I've never used it for anything, but watching him go through and it's a pretty cool plugin. So that would be my later on. That'll be my pick of the week will be the broken link checker plugin.
Yeah. I know, there's a couple of different plugin services out there that do that. I mean, one of the things you got to watch out for using a broken link checker is the amount of processing it uses.
That's right. That's what he said.
On the server. So if you can somehow offload that to a service to do your broken link checking, by all means, do it that way, or else you could be looking at some CPU overage.
I was surprised that that plugin even let you tune that at all. Like, it should just know how to like not absorb all of PHP's available memory or CPU cycles and everything else. But it doesn't matter. They're working on it. It's everything's a work in progress. I just thought it was neat that. You can like it'll auto fix, like it'll kind of try to heal links. Like there's like neat little stuff in that plugin. So it was neat to see it because it's something that I had never needed to use before. So a thorough walkthrough in 15 minutes, no doubt, was a great talk. Those were my two favorites.
Well, shout out and congrats to Kate and the rest of the organizing team behind WordCamp Grand Rapids. I knew it was going to be an awesome event and they delivered. So.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they have some momentum to do it again next year.
Yeah, there were like so many good talks. I feel like Kyle's talk was good. Like every talk that I saw was really good. Like, I don't know, like find them on WordPress.tv and watch every single one
eventually.
Of them, except for mine. And they were all good.
I need to see this talk. So I'm going to watch it. And by the way, I'm glad you had a safe trip home. It looks like you encountered a non-dismissible admin notice, a.k.a. a tree that fell over the road.
Did you see that? That was incredible. That was absolutely incredible. That was close to home, too. A tree fell across the road. It was like we were the first people to see this tree ever. And by then, behind us come a couple of cars, and then someone must have already called because I was looking up the number for the county, and someone had, here comes a county sheriff who is not interested in talking to me at all. Carrie got a picture of me, like, trying to talk to the guy, but he, like, didn't care.
So,
that happened. But we eventually made it home. We successfully dodged Chicago traffic, mostly. The drive was totally – we stopped at a chocolate place in Michigan somewhere.
Of course you did.
We have since eaten all of that chocolate because we're eventually trying to move and relocate all of our belongings. And so all of the food in the house has to go. I mean, there's like a lot of activity right now. But
wow,
Camp Grand Rapids is great.
I can come over to your house and help you with the food situation. I have no problem with that.
You're well, anytime.
All right. A day after the 4th of July, WordPress 4.9.7 was released. It was considered or is considered a security maintenance release for all versions since WordPress 3.7. The development team strongly encourages everybody to update their sites. There's a couple of bugs that were fixed in this release, but the one of note is the security vulnerability that was publicly disclosed that we had mentioned on the previous episode. That has been addressed. So that's one of the major reasons why you want to update to 4.9.7. So glad to have that out of the way. And now the says previously scheduled 4.9.7 is now referred to as 4.9.8, which we'll probably see in the not too distant future. And it looks like it's going to have the Gutenberg try Gutenberg callout prompt that we've talked about before. So we'll have more news on that in the coming days. Oh, speaking of Gutenberg. Let's see. Where do we want to start? Have you had a chance to watch Matt Mulawake's summertime update presentation from WordCamp EU?
Yes.
So if anybody out there, it's now available. In fact, it was uploaded on July 4th, but it's now available on WordPress.tv. I just posted a link to it on WP Tavern. Really good stuff. Matt kind of gives an overview of the progression of WordPress core updates this year, what's happening with Gutenberg. And actually, something that I was very pleased to see is a roadmap of things that were going to be done and things that are in progress. And speaking of Gutenberg, some of the things that are in progress or that he mentions are going to be happening very soon is a feature freeze in Gutenberg to get host agencies and teachers invited to opt-in sites they have influence over to start using Gutenberg. WordPress.com is going to have an opt-in for WP admin users to, of course, try and use Gutenberg. With the number of sites and posts will be tracked for some metrics, and mobile app support for Gutenberg will be across iOS and Android devices, which will be a big deal because one of the things that Matt mentioned is in his presentation is that mobile apps, I mean, they're not going away. In fact, if anything, people are publishing on them more and more. I mean, he mentioned that there was like 1.7 million posts and a gajillion different images or videos have been uploaded using the mobile apps just on WordPress.com just within a month. So, and he, I was glad to see that he mentioned that, you know, right now, if you visit a post that was written in Gutenberg in the mobile app, things break, you know, incredibly, there's a lot of breakage there. So they're going to get that fixed up. And then come July, which, okay, this is the month we're in, they're going to work on getting a 4.9x release with the Gutenberg callout prompt. Or it's actually going to also have a mention in there about the classic editor plugin, which I think is nice. WordPress.com will move to an opt-out, and there's going to be tracking to see who opts out and why. Triage will increase along with bug gardening to get blockers in Gutenberg down to zero. And then Gutenberg Phase 2, which is the exploration of customization. So moving beyond just the post editor, which there's a lot of exciting things, you know, when we go get beyond the post editor. So I was actually on WordPress.com the other day because I wanted to see, you know, just how on schedule, you know, since July, I don't know when in July, but so far I have not seen a prompt to try out Gutenberg on WordPress.com yet. So I don't know if they're going to roll it out to everybody all at once or if it's going to be a selected rollout. We'll have to wait and see on that. But it's nice to see a roadmap here and now give people sort of more of a focused heads up on when they can expect possibly emerge into WordPress core. And they say WordPress 5.0 could be, and that's a big could be, released as soon as August.
I mean, this is, you know, in the beginning of Gutenberg, everyone kind of joked about, or Matt had mentioned, and then it kind of became a thing that it's, You know, it, you're rebuilding the ship one plank at a time. This is now a huge ship type. Like Gutenberg is a lot of code, is a big plugin, is a enormous piece of software by itself. And so even though it might not really seem like it, this is an aggressive timeline still, even for the hundreds of contributors that there are in every Gutenberg release. I lived in Miami for a few years, and watching the cruise ships try and turn around in the bay was always really impressive to me, because it's this enormous ship. And it's got to, it comes in, it's got to turn around and drop people off, and then it's got to head back out. And so July for getting people opting in on .com, mobile still is a little broken. If you try to use Gutenberg on a mobile device, it really doesn't work yet, kind of at all. There's a lot that needs to get done still.
And there's no compatibility with Calypso yet either.
No Calypso, right? It's aggressive, and so hopefully, I mean, wishing everyone involved, all friends of ours, you know, as much success as they can they can have. But oof, it's a lot of work.
And to finish up the roadmap, Matt mentions that as far as August and beyond goes, they're looking at getting all critical issues within Gutenberg resolved, full integration with Calypso, and allow an opt-in for Gutenberg for users there. The goal is to have 100,000 sites having made 250,000 posts or more using Gutenberg. Of course, core merge of Gutenberg begins the 5.0 release cycle, and then everything that comes along with that. So releases, betas, release candidates. Mm-hmm. And he says that there should be a mobile version of Gutenberg by the end of the year. So you get to edit and mess around with blocks on the phone, which I don't know, could be a good thing. Mm-hmm. We'll have to wait and see. I've never been a fan of writing posts on my iPhone. I just feel like it's just too limiting. Maybe an iPad though would probably be better.
All I want on my iPhone is a text box half the time. I don't want the
half the crazy screen is
and stuff, right?
Half the screen keyboard. Is a keyboard.
Yep. Yep. So even iOS, like the native editing, bold, italic, insert images, even the native UI for that is not very good. So it's hard to imagine a web app really pulling something off that's any better.
So something I was thinking about here, and this was kind of briefly mentioned, I think, during the Q&A. So Gutenberg right now is all about the post editor, but immediately after that is exploring customization. And what does that mean? Well, there's already been a lot of work on improving widgets and all that kind of stuff. But if you Gutenberg at its core is supposed to be the unification of all the things, the mystery meat, right? So with that said, what Gutenberg will allow WordPress developers to do is kind of look at certain admin screens in the back end. So the widgets menu and the widgets UI, the menu system, which I've heard from developers is the bane of many developers' existence, the code behind that. And maybe get rid of those things completely and opt for something that is done through the customizer, or even some form of Gutenberg itself, and you could just do it all through that sort of interface. So the unification of widgets and all these other things will allow WordPress, and it kind of fits perfectly into rebuilding the ship mentality, because you know, you have Gutenberg, and we can look at the widget screen and maybe even, you know, remove that plank and put something new in there without maybe removing so much as the functionality.
That's right.
And maybe in the long run, this is what will allow the WordPress admin backend to be simplified and remove all that legacy crap code. Well, I shouldn't say crap code, because a lot of people, but well, I mean,
one of the things that I didn't like code. About, that's right. One of the original thing that I really didn't like about the recent deviation about widgets and menus is sort of how it deviated stylistically from everything else in WordPress admin. Like the menu screen looks completely different. Widgets looks completely different. You have to relearn all of these mechanisms. There's a screen options tab, but it hides things that aren't meta boxes, even though that's the same UI that you would normally use to hide meta boxes. There's some reuse, and then there's some things that are new. And so it is confusing, I think. They've felt like separate pieces or separate projects when they when I really shouldn't have. But the one of the things I like my talk in Grand Rapids was kind of the not just the future of WordPress, because that's Matt's talk, but is sort of bigger, farther out, what really is the future of all of these things. And my prediction for Gutenberg style themes is that they are kind of a completely different kind of theme. They will just have to be a theme that is ready 100% top down, headers, footers, everything to work the Gutenberg way. There won't be people that are looking for the middle ground between, like, we have a Genesis child theme that happens to support Gutenberg blocks. That will satisfy some people a little bit until there is a full-fledged Gutenberg, completely configurable theme, at which point that will be the future of themes, will be 100% configurable block types, footer, header, nested blocks. Your menus will be blocks. All of those things will have to be a completely different variant of a WordPress theme, because the hybrid approach will not be real satisfying for most people, I don't think. So I think getting Gutenberg in is really step one of kind of five before we'll see the true positive, happy outcome of all of the work that people have put into Gutenberg so far.
And Matt mentioned that in the WordPress 5.1 and 5.2, the changes and things going into those versions will be just as significant as Gutenberg going into WordPress 5.0. So yep. we're on a interesting timeline here, an interesting phase of WordPress development.
Yep. And folks like me that love PHP and working on really accidentally sort of back-end type things, I don't have the bandwidth to look at a lot of what's going into Gutenberg and pay attention to how all of the new code works. And so even chiming in with Weston Reuter is talking about service workers on GitHub and asking for feedback on Twitter. And I'm thinking, like, I understand how service workers work. I know what they are, and I know how they're supposed to work. But I'm really not 100% confident how we're using them specifically with Gutenberg or the JavaScript that's going into WordPress going forward. So I have to do research, like for a completely brand new code base that still happens to be WordPress. You're 100% right. It's changing very rapidly.
I've seen a number of comments from people, and I want to clarify this a little bit, that, you know, there's a lot of people out there who believe that due to all of the focus on Gutenberg, that the REST API has sort of been forgotten about, that nobody's working on it. When in fact, Gutenberg is heavily reliant on the WordPress API. And when they started bridging the two together, they found out just how many gaps and how much was lacking mm-hmm. in the WordPress REST API. And so there's been a lot of work from the Gutenberg team to try and build in the necessary endpoints mm-hmm. and the things that are necessary for Gutenberg to work with the REST API. So I think maybe it's been like a side hustle, I guess, if you mm-hmm. look at it, where, mm-hmm. yeah, there's a lot of work and effort going on and in the Gutenberg, but a side benefit is that a lot of work has gone into the WordPress REST API. Right. Now, it's not feature complete. It still doesn't cover core 100% or the back end 100% with endpoints, but mm-hmm. it's a lot better now thanks to something like Gutenberg heavily utilizing it than it was before Gutenberg existed. So
our generation of software engineers is relearning the same lessons that every physical engineer out in the real world has already learned, which is there is an enormous amount of work that you have to do in order to actually do the job that it is that you're supposed to be doing. If you want to tear up a road and replace a water main, you have to get licensing from the state, the county, the municipalities. You have to notify business owners. You have to do all this extra work that has nothing to do with digging a hole and replacing the water main. And so that's what this is everyone that's working on Gutenberg is filling in all these REST API potholes that they didn't really know were going to be a problem, but were definitely going to be a problem. So it's not any different. The thing that people are learning with REST APIs now is that there's always holes to fill. Every one time you want something special or unique or different, you almost always have to write your own RESTful endpoint to fill that gap. And so the reuse there is sort of lost, which is why Facebook has GraphQL, which I think would be a kind of a better setup for something like Gutenberg and WordPress at this point. But
I know back in a conversation or in an interview, I think maybe it was us that asked him, you know, do you think maybe we should have went with GraphQL and just bypassed the REST API? And Matt was kind of thinking, you know, maybe that's the way we should have went. But, you know, here we are.
Yeah, there are a few folks are looking at some GraphQL integration for BuddyPress, which I'm excited about. And it's a lot. It's just, what do you think this should be easier, but it's not going to be. It is really only going to get increasingly difficult as it goes.
And not to dive too deep into the REST API rabbit hole, but I know another thing that a lot of people are looking forward to that does not exist is the authentication.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's what we were going to. I was going to talk about that too. I forgot about that. That is the sort of Achilles heel of people not using the REST API for newer,
There's not a very good way for authentication without setting something up homegrown, or whether it's a plugin or whatever, you know, with tokens.
Yep. And messing with authentication in a plugin is like very committal. You really, everything sort of gets married to that authentication process. So if you change your password hashing algorithm, everything uses that new algorithm. There is no upgrading an algorithm like that can be done. We've done it in WordPress core before, but once you have everybody connected through OAuth, or once you have everybody connected through OAuth 1 or 2 or whatever, you don't really want to go backwards and try and upgrade or support both or anything else. So that's Carl Hancock, shout out to him for sort of raising that issue on Twitter, I think recently, if that's what you're thinking of, that's what I saw.
I think there's and I remember there was a lot of conversation about turning WordPress.org into like an OAuth provider.
Broker,
But there's so much that was involved there, like especially on the security front. Like you got to make sure everything is in tip-top shape, and there's a lot of work that has to go into that, because now you're going to have you would open up a lot of different WordPress sites all talking to that broker, and you know, things could go horribly wrong if things are not secure.
And all of these things do end up with some hub, right? Like we all use Let's Encrypt for SSL, or we all use the plugin repo for plugins and the theme repo for themes. Having something on WordPress.org would make the most sense. But it is another big task for the WordPress.org security team, the systems team. It really does need its own team to help wrangle and manage and set something up like that. If it and when it should happen. But when that happens, really, really interesting and cool things could suddenly be possible, like linking WordPresses together through WordPress.org, or having your user account on WordPress.org show a list of the blogs that you have OAuthed into or out of, because it acts as the broker for all of the WordPress sites that you use, that you've connected to all around the world. Like there are neat things that are achievable that are hard to do without it, and that you wouldn't really want to trust anybody but WordPress.org to do for you. So, you know, if I started doing it, no one would trust me. Who would you trust? Even the, you know, like some of the folks at HumanMade that have invested a lot of time in the REST API and the OAuth plugin that uses bolts itself onto the REST API, they started and they have, I forget what the domain is, wprest.org. I forget what it was. They had a broker that they launched that they've been politely recommending for people to try and use to test it out. And I'd be curious to see what they have for adoption there. My guess is it's probably not a lot, because until it's the sort of officially endorsed brokerage for these kinds of site connections and relationships, or until your own site can act as its own broker for the connections that it has or it's divvying out, it's going to be, adoption is going to be pretty slow for that, I think. But when that happens, that'll be a big deal.
So one last thing here, possibly on Gutenberg, is on July 6th, Gutenberg 3.2 was released. This release actually completes their MVP feature set for the editor, and what it does is it adds inline images, which is really cool, block style variations, and a new columns approach. So Mateus Ventura says that they're going to be switching focus now to bugs, enhancements, compatibility, and API stability from now on. And he notes that there are people working on some more individual blocks and a few widgets, and they will be included when they're ready. So he says that the most significant addition is block style variations that will allow registration of alternate styles based on class names for any block with automated real thumbnails and live previews built into the block transformation tool. He says they've added them to the quote button and separator blocks for illustration. And the public API will be exposed in a future release. So if you look at this changelog, again, it's about a million different things. I mean, I was looking at this earlier, and I'm like, you know, this is the nature of software development, where I'm looking at these things, is all these little things
I know
add up to big thing. And it's amazing how software development works sometimes, with all these little itty-bitty changes that you're doing.
For EDD3, we have 3,500 code commits in the past 6 months that are specific to EDD3 that most folks haven't seen yet. So, like, seeing this kind of work go into Gutenberg reminds me a lot of that, and even BuddyPress back in the day. Like, to invent something from nothing, you just have to, all of these little things happen. And the nature of open source is sort of, you kind of want to keep a log of every change and unique little things. So the change logs are, I'm really excited to see every Gutenberg change log that happens, because it's
from here on out, because this sets the foundation, the stage where, you know, from here on out, Gutenberg is pretty much feature frozen. So no more additional features will be put into the product. And essentially, what you want to see is the change log getting smaller, because that means there are fewer things that need to be fixed.
One of the things I usually do in our change logs, which is, I mean, kind of just me rearranging the food on my plate, but I try to line up all of the things that are fixes and all the things that are features and all the things that are like added, removed, and whatever. And so looking at the Gutenberg change log, you know, you can tell that Matthias kind of tried to do that, or whoever put this together tried to do that a little bit. And so you'll see fewer ads and more fixes, right? Like, as this goes on, there's a bunch of ads at the bottom, lots of tweaks, lots of updates, but we'll see lots more fixes, little things getting fixed, and then a lot less new things getting added in.
And a few weeks ago, Automattic announced that their first new board member since the board was founded is General Ann Dunwoody, who she served for 37 years in the U.S. Army, and she was the first woman in U.S. military history to achieve a 4-star officer rank. And she's also the author of A Higher Standard: Leadership Strategies from America's First Female 4-Star General. Mm-hmm. So she's going to be part of the team there, and she's part of a collection of people that Automattic have been hiring as of late to work on their leadership and their mission there at Automattic. So looks like she's going to bring a lot of valuable insight into leadership for distributed teams, because she was actually in charge of like 69,000 different people in 140 different countries. And she may know a thing or two about leadership across all those different organizations, which as Automattic continues to grow right now, it's over 740 employees in more than 60 countries. This is like, you know, perfect for her, you know?
Yeah, this is easy for her now. Yeah. One of the things that I liked about the kind of quick Q&A, I guess, that Matt had posted on his blog was, even though that she is like very well-traveled, very experienced, and sounds amazing as a person, that she still kind of stayed humble and and was very open to say that none of this was achievable, you know, by herself, and that she had a lot of help. It's easy, I think, to forget that all of the people and folks that helped you get to where you are, and so it's nice to see her mention some of the people that she has as role models and people that she admires, because and one of the things that I think I'm really happy for with Matt and Automatic is that he's able to take a company that he started from nothing and then kind of bring in his mentors as advisors for his board, you know, like bring in people that he thinks have qualities that either he lacks or things that he thinks will make his company better. And to be able to find kind of amazing folks like this to help everyone kind of grow and get better. And the fact that this is the first new member to the board ever is kind of credence to who was picked in the first place, I think. But then kind of sets a tone for the direction of what future board members may be, or when people have are ready to sunset themselves. I'm excited to see who Matt or who the Automatic folks bring in next.
And one of the things that she said that people were gravitating towards is that, quote, "In the old days, I think people believed information was power and often withheld information to use for personal advantage. Mm-hmm. But I believe shared information is power. By leveraging the power of the entire industrial base, we could solve problems in real time." And then I think Matt asked her, did she ever find it difficult to break down the silos and embrace that concept of shared information as power? And she says yes. And they weren't just silos. They were silos with concertina wire around them.
Right.
She says they had over 200 standalone systems that didn't talk to each other. So to field and design an enterprise IT system that leveraged systems with the needed information to support Foxhole the factory was like challenging and exciting. So just that shared information is power. That's like one of the ethos of open source software.
That's right. I mean, it's going to be a good fit for them. It seems like I was going to read that part too. The Foxhole the factory part I thought was really clever.
We have farm to kitchen, and now we have Foxhole to.
When we're doing our factory. When I'm talking about us trying to pull off building this house, I call it foundation to faucets. Like we've like figured everything out. So I appreciated that when I read this.
And I was going to ask you this just because I was thinking about this, but so in the first part of the announcement, it says Automatic keeps growing. We've been bringing in a lot of talented people behind the scenes to help expand on our vision as we go from hundreds to thousands of colleagues and hundreds of millions to billions in revenue. Mm-hmm. Now I'll ask you, mm-hmm. What is Automatic's vision? I was thinking about it, and I don't know. I don't know what Automatic's vision is.
Mm. So I can tell you what I think.
I mean, for WordPress, democracy of publishing. Okay, I get that. That's like the overarching reason why WordPress is around, something we can all gather around. But Automatic's vision, I don't know what that is.
So...
anybody should know. I should know.
So I think if you asked Matt, and we should probably ask Matt and get his direct answer rather than speculate.
Okay.
But I, what do you think it is?
I think it is somewhat related to the WordPress project of trying to allow as many people on this planet as possible to publish content on the web.
Mm-hmm. And so that.
And if you can make a few billion dollars doing it.
So it's like the thing that makes you money is maybe the byproduct. The vision is
Jetpack powers the world. I don't. Okay, that's speculation.
No, but that is probably what it is. Truly, right? Like the byproduct of what you do is the thing that makes you money. And so yes, democratizing publishing, getting people to have sites and have a voice on the web, and being the good guy for the future of the web is important. All of those things are 100% true, and they will hopefully always be true. But the only way I think that a company like Automattic or it gets to billions of dollars in revenue is with partnerships, acquisitions, and more and more and more VIP style sites that are willing and able to continue to put money towards the systems that allow them to publish to the web freely and openly and easily and all those things. And so Jetpack, like partnerships in general, are hosting companies, but strategic partnerships with upsells or acting or using Jetpack as a payment gateway or processor for WooCommerce payments and taking your penny off the top of every transaction, or there are just a ton of things that Jetpack as a piece of software is kind of Automattic's Adobe. They are Automattic's Microsoft 365 suite of services that deploy out to everybody's WordPress sites around the world, and you can choose to use them or not. But their offerings will be so enticing that it will be really hard to not activate Jetpack and turn stuff on.
Well, the former CEO of Bluehost, James Grierson, is actually leading Jetpack partnerships.
Mm-hmm. And so Jetpack partnerships start off looking like relationships with hosting companies. They have to. That is how you get deployment out there. But Jetpack with it's an interesting relationship that a hosting company is going to have with Automattic and Jetpack, because hosting companies are going to want to sell their own products, and Automattic is going to want to sell their own products. And so at what point
And WordPress.com at the end of the day is a web hosting company.
Web is still a web hosting company. That is 100% correct. But in the ways that I didn't think that GitHub was a platform that could be sold, what if WordPress.com is a platform that can be sold? What if WordPress.com isn't the future, but Jetpack is the future, and Automattic can put all their money towards VIP and the things that work and that are making money, and WordPress.com could. I mean, I've said this a long time ago, but WordPress.com could very easily be the gift to the community to host as many WordPress unlimited sites as you want to in a place. And Automattic and Matt has been pretty open about Jetpack being the future of Automattic, but getting Jetpack to billions of dollars in revenue takes very strategic partnerships. It takes lots of upsells and things that are value adds. It takes people spending $80-$100 a month, not just a year. It's spend $1,000 a year on a Jetpack.
Need a couple hundred more modules in Jetpack to get this done.
Well, a few really solid ones.
Yeah.
And then a few, I spend a couple extra bucks every month with Adobe to have access to stock photos. I don't really use them all that frequently, but when I do need to use it, it sure is better than spending $80 a photo or whatever to license the photo. And so that's the mentality that I think that some folks will eventually come to terms with Jetpack. It could very easily be a dozen Gutenberg blocks that you get, a Gutenberg block pack. Like you pay for stickers on the iOS App Store, you'll pay for Gutenberg blocks or whatever. But the hurdles will be hosting companies that are also building out their own solutions for things and competing for the sort of customer space. Like it's the same. It honestly, it looks a lot like cable TV. Like you have Time Warner, Spectrum,
AT&T. Oh, no, how you are with cable TV.
You have all these cable TV providers that have deals set up with HBO or Comedy Central or whatever else, NFL, to air their programs on specific stations or to prioritize them with specific times or whatever else. It's going to look a lot like that, where you're going to be subscribed to the Jetpack package, or you'll be subscribed to the Bluehost or the Dreamhost or the Liquid Web or the Pantheon or the Pagely package to get one thing for hosting and one thing for.
I mean, I've already seen it where I think it's with Bluehost or some other hosting company where you sign up for a package and boom, it comes with Jetpack Premium.
Yes.
To it.
Yep.
Oh,
that's, I think that's how they get to billions.
So something, Naomi Bush published this tweet, earlier this month. I thought I'd pass it around or pass it in front of you, see what you get your take on it. But I thought it was something worth thinking about. And she says, quote, "My child just asked me about WordPress, and it hit me that there is now a significant generational divide in the WordPress experience. Mm-hmm. They will never know the classic editing experience, only Gutenberg in the future," end quote. I thought that was something worth pondering about.
Yep, it's very true. Like, it's 10 years, 15 years of WordPress, and here's the new future coming at us. So
totally. I liked one of the responses to the tweet was by Jess Sound. She says, "As long as we all avoid the back in my day comments, I think
we won't be able to. Be
good. That's right.
Back in my day, we
didn't have custom post types.
I still say that.
Yeah.
I still say that all the time. It'll be impossible.
So if we look at custom post types was brought up as one of those generational divide type things because there was a WordPress before those existed and WordPress after. And when WordPress after, it was a lot better for a lot of developers out there because they could build these custom post types.
Mm-hmm.
And if we, you know, of course, we have the Gutenberg era of WordPress and the classic editor. Are there any other sort of features or think, you know, lines in the timeline of WordPress that you could see as being a generational divide?
That's a good question. I think
I don't know if automatic updates would qualify as
I don't really think so. I think when menus was first brought into WordPress, it did sort of create a little bit of that because a lot of themes were using pages and hierarchical pages to make menus and
widgets were so long ago.
Widgets and short codes, but no, this is really the first really huge major overhaul of all of it. I would argue even the WP admin redesign from the tabs on top to the admin menu sidebar that we have now wasn't as big of a move or as jarring or as generationally dividing.
And we talked about this before that there is going to be now this cutoff in WordPress. If you look at the history of WordPress, there will be this marker, this milestone where from here on Gutenberg, mm-hmm. from here back, you know, it was TinyMCE, the editor that so mm-hmm. many people have come to love and hate, sometimes both at the same time.
Well, and the transition period will not be the smoothest for people either, which is the developers that have been learning JavaScript deeply and helping make Gutenberg or really gung-ho supporting that direction are equally or that far ahead of everyone else because it is clearly the direction of future that it things are going. And if you don't go that direction, you end up left behind. So once
Gutenberg gets merged into WordPress and that becomes part of the new user experience for someone who has never used WordPress before and they go to author content or edit a page or do whatever and they're doing it in Gutenberg, you know, I'm anxious to find out what a lot of people's new user experiences are with WordPress mm-hmm. in the post-Gutenberg era. Now, I wonder if there will be people out there who – I mean – there's millions of users, so I imagine there's going to be some people out there, but, you know, people who say, wow, you know, who have no experience with WordPress's previous editors, such as Gutenberg, mm-hmm. and they say, this is really nice. I love the way this looks and feels.
You know, and my guess is totally based on just guessing and industry years experience and not about Gutenberg specifically, is that the new user experience on Gutenberg, the feedback will be more positive than the existing user experience. If you ask an existing user, the drastic amount of change that Gutenberg brings will not be met with a lot of hugely positive feedback. But my guess is new users will love it.
I agree. And then, you know, once the unification of things, I think, is going to be a huge factor, where now you can manage short codes, blocks, widgets, all that stuff right within Gutenberg. And I think that's a huge difference from the cumbersome of going here and going there and how we do things today. But hey, I'm going to be one of those people who gets to say, back in my day.
I know, here you are. Do you still have Gutenberg activated on the Tavern, or did you turn it back off?
No, I haven't activated in the Tavern. There's been some things that have been fixed. So I use it on a regular basis. In fact, I don't know if this is a recent feature, but now if you with the plugin installed, if you went to add a new post or create a new post, it would automatically create it in the Gutenberg editor. But now it gives you an option to where you can either create the new post in Gutenberg or create it in the classic editor that you have now. And I thought that was a nice change. But also, for those out there who are in the agency world, or if you want to maybe only enable Gutenberg for certain post types or certain areas of your site, there's a great plugin, I think, that was created by the WordPress.com VIP team called Ramp. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to ramp up, you know, users or agencies or whatever into Gutenberg. So you can only turn it on for certain parts of the site and not for the entire site. And that kind of gives people a chance to experiment with it without it being everywhere, which and that could have easily been the pick of the week, but I figured I threw that out there because it was relevant to our conversation.
And folks are going to probably want to tune that at first, because lots of plugins are not going to be supporting Gutenberg out of the box as a first-class thing. Some plugins won't even need what Gutenberg provides. It's like with BB Press, we use custom post types for forums, topics, and replies, but in WP Admin, do you really need a block-based editor to moderate forum topics and posts? I don't think you do. It doesn't really fit there yet. So there are definitely going to be solid examples of plugins or post types that won't need post type support. I do have some cool ideas for how BB Press could use Gutenberg, but that's going to take it a while.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we covered some of those in a previous episode.
I think we did too.
When you were just decoupling Gutenberg for a BB Press experience, you're like, you started getting giddy on me on the show.
Oh, so it could be really cool.
I know. All right, let's see. There's a lot of great articles that Sarah Gooding has published on the Tavern. I definitely recommend folks check those out. If you are a theme developer, check out a recent article she published about a block unit test plugin created by ThemeBeans founder Rich Tabor, which is pretty much mimics the theme unit test plugin, but it's specifically for Gutenberg. So it does sort of unit test where it includes variations of core blocks, and you can see on the front end how your theme will look with all the different blocks and some different variations enabled. So it's a pretty cool plugin. And something that I really like about Rich is once he found out Gutenberg was going to be the future of WordPress, he got on it. He started thinking of these different ideas and said, hey, you know, I got to get on this. I got to start developing products to take advantage of this. And I'll just share this quote from the end of the article. And he says, quote, I believe the foundation of the future of WordPress lies in the success of Gutenberg. I use the new editor just about daily now. I know it's a great move in the right direction. I'm doing my part to make sure folks using my themes can experience everything that Gutenberg has to offer. End quote. I just love that sort of mentality and thinking by Rich. And I think he'll be one of the people who are become highly successful in the post Gutenberg era.
I think so too. It's the folks that are jumping in right now really are they're ahead of everybody else, and they're really paving the way for the future that themes and plugins and everything are going to have, you know, for hopefully the next 15 years. So I agree.
So other than that, anything across your radar that you want to mention before we wrap it up?
Not really, man. I'm just excited that it's 90 degrees outside. It's like summer finally got here. So,
I mean, I could deal with 90 degrees. I can't deal with 70, 75 degree dew point. That is just, you know, when you walk outside and it just hits you like a brick, I can't deal with that, man. Thank God for air conditioner.
Yeah, well, so I don't know. I mean, nothing else really. What about you? Anything?
Nothing.
EDD-294 went out. We're going to put out EDD-295 eventually soon. More EDD work stuff. You know, same stuff, really.
WP Campus takes place this week, Friday and Saturday. There's a link. We've written about this on WP Tavern. You can watch the sessions for free. They will be streamed live for free. And we may mention some more information about this next week, but next Friday, July 20th, is the first ever WPCLI Hackaday. So
that's happening too, yeah.
We'll share some information about that on next week's episode. Other than that, I think that about does it for
Word Sesh is happening too, but I guess that's 2 weeks from now.
Yeah, I think that's near the end of the month. 25th, yep. Maybe?
25th, you're right.
Wow, look at that. Wow, man,
nicely done.
Good memory, thank you. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPTavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Rowe, where you can read my tweets about birds and nature and everything not political. Yeah. It's a breath of fresh air in my Twitter stream, let me tell you.
And every now and then, you get to see Smokey. I prefer pictures of Smokey over most things. And it's hard to not tweet about politics stuff. It really takes some self-control to not voice dumb venting opinions that nobody wants to hear.
So anymore. All that smart stuff you post online, where could people find you and all that smart stuff?
I really should blog more. JJJ.blog. There's a lot that I've got started that I should finish. And GitHub and Twitter at JJJ.
And one last thing before we wrap it up. Have you found your goats yet?
No. And we've given up the goat hunt. The goats are gone.
Okay.
Sure. We'll try and get some new goats when we have a new house, I think. Given up the goat hunt.
All right. That's too bad. So everybody, enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon for some more WordPress goodness. So long, everybody. Say bye, John.
Bye, John.